Good morning. Yes, indeed, he's a good, good father. Wherever you're watching from, I want to say a good day to you. Well, it's good morning here from Merseyside, Liverpool. And we are broadcasting from Love Assembly, Liverpool. We are glad, you know, to be with you. I'm excited today because there is a continuation of what we were looking at sharing from last week, Sunday. And if you joined the Thursday broadcast also, we also built on the things we learn on the Sundays, we kind of go more in-depth to do some more in-depth study from the Word of God. Now, I know you may probably have stumbled on this broadcast, and I want you to know it's not an accident. I'm bringing you glad tidings, and we're going to share something today, I believe, that will tremendously regenerate your mind and your relationships with people. You know, we started, as we've been looking at a theme for this month. You know, the theme is titled Building the Temple with Finished Stones. It's a series, as you know, and we shared the other time on a scripture where this is taken from. If you have your Bible and your Bible has been in hiding, has gathered some dust where you have hid it for years, or you don't even see the relevance of a Bible, I want you to know that the Bible will begin to come alive to you. In 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7, the Bible declares, "And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built." Listen, we broke this down. The temple being built is being built by God. You wonder who or what God is? Just think about the Creator. Think about the one who made everything that you can see to become. Because nothing just happens. Even if you don't believe that there is a supreme being called God, you will still believe that things don't just happen and everything was created by the Creator. And that Creator is the source of all life, all creation, and everything you do. And that's simply who and what God is. But you know what? Just come and follow us today. If you are a believer in God, you are a believer in Jesus, there's another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 that tells us that you believers, like living stones, are built up into a spiritual house for a holy and dedicated priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you something. There's something exciting we're going to look into today. We started last week looking at the fundamentals of relationships. You see, even if you don't get it up till now about temple, stones were used in the Bible, in the Bible days, to build temples. And that temple is just a metaphor of a place, a building, a structure that God wants to dwell in. Now, those stones are human beings. And stones are laid side by side upon one another, around one another. You see, basically, you see, you are created so that God, the Creator, can dwell in you. Think about a manufacturer who makes a product and actually wants the product to function, the product to work properly. You are like that. The manufacturer, your manufacturer is God, and He created you to function. Now, He realized that for you to function, you need life inside you. You need everything that it takes for you to function. And you know what He does? He decides, I will make everything in you work. So I will come and dwell in you and help you to work and work in you, both to will and to do everything you were created for. So today, our topic will be building your relationship with family. Now, let me, for those watching, let me bring my screen up again and show you something so that we build up from that, from there. Now, we looked at that scripture. So we've been doing the series, like I said, on building the relationships the right way. Four kinds of relationship. We looked at part one last week. So this week will be part two. And we define relationship as the way in which two or more people or things are connected. Relationship is the state of being connected either by blood or by marriage. Relationship is the way two or more people or groups regard and behave towards each other. When stones are laid side by side upon one another, around one another in a temple, those stones must know how to dwell together, how to stay together, so that the temple being built will be solid and the temple can stay together. So think about it. We are like stones and we must relate with one another. And that is why we must build relationships with other stones. Stones now, as you can see from this metaphor, they are people. So we must build relationships with other people, but we must do it in the right manner. And that is why today we are looking at a very important relationship. There are four kinds of relationship. Next week, we will look at the other two. But today, we are focusing on two. When you look at what this title will be today, which is your relationship with family. So we're looking at two kinds of relationship right here. Number one, relationship with family. And number two, your relationship with yourself. So that is where we are building up from today. That will be our topic. And come on this journey with us again. And let me pray right now. We are going to do a recap, but before then, let us pray. Now, Father, I pray upon the hearts and minds of everyone, but first of all, upon my own heart and my mind, I pray that, Lord, you will flow in me. You will flow through me. Lord, inspire me. Pour out your spirit. Let your love flow into me and to everyone listening that will watch this. I pray relationships will be rekindled, relationships that are broken, family especially. Lord, will receive a new fire, a new unction, a new wine. More than anything, Lord, relationship with you will be built or rebuilt or revealed today. And somebody that does not know you will come to the knowledge of the truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let me just do a very, very, very quick recap. All right, let's do a quick recap of what we've been learning about relationships. I just defined to us before what relationships are. It involves definitely two or more people, how we relate, how we are connected, the state of our connection, and the way we regard one another and relate with one another, the way we behave towards one another. So what have we been learning? We learned the fundamentals of relationship, that God is the source of all, and he created us human beings as relational beings. We are all related to one another. I tell you something, if you can hold on to this basic truth, that every human being you see, every single human being you see, including myself, I am your relative. We are all related to one another. This is very important, because this will help us now to begin to see one another in a different light. So that's one fundamental we learned, one truth we learned last week. And truth number two is that you needed at least two or more people who had some kind of relationship for you to be alive or to be where you are presently or currently alive. Think about it. You couldn't be where you are now if two or more people didn't have a relationship. If they were not connected, you wouldn't be alive. And everything where you are currently and present circumstances is as a result of two or more people who had a relationship, connected, behaved towards one another in one way or the other. So what's number three fundamental we learned last week? You will always need someone to relate with at every point in your life. We kind of emphasize that. You will always, always need someone to relate with at every point of your life. You know what? Someone could be family, which is what we're going to be looking at today, friends, foe, or even God at some point. You will always require this. And what is number four? You were never created to be and made to be alone. It is not good for you to be alone. God never designed you to be alone. Never, ever, ever. Okay? So I'm bringing this broadcast into your home, into your house, into your heart. And I'm trusting that today you will see the fundamentals of relationship, why relationships are important, and especially that with family. But also, let me bring to our remembrance what we learned also about what we called some things that should guide every relationship. We said every relationship must be three things defined. It must be with boundaries and governed by principles. Every relationship, we called it the DBP. Defined, boundaries, governed by principles. Any undefined relationship with no boundaries, without principles, is destined to crumble, crash, fail, and be destroyed. Think about it. You cannot have a genuine, long-lasting, strong relationship if it doesn't have those three ingredients. It's got to be defined. By defined, what did we say what defined is? It means it's got to have a name. What kind of relationship? Don't just be in relationship with someone and, you know, you ask yourself, what's this relationship all about? What exactly is this relationship all about? If I don't know what this is all about, then I shouldn't be in the relationship. That's what it means to define a relationship. It's got to be called something. Are we brothers? Are we sisters? Are we friends? Are we acquaintances? Are we neighbors? Or are we just work colleagues? Or are we just, you know, classmates? You know, I had the privilege to hang out with some classmates yesterday over the internet. The power of technology brought us all together. And I think one or two of them are watching this live broadcast now. You see, some of the classmates have become friends to me. We went to school, secondary school together, and that was about, you know, 33 years ago. We all saw each other last, that we graduated from, you know, secondary school. But some of them have grown from being classmates and have become friends. So we've redefined and had a new definition of what our relationship is. So let's not overemphasize that. So that's what is got to be defined. And when you define a relationship, it's got to have its boundaries. It's got to have its boundaries. And one of the boundaries of relationships is this principle also that we will look at there about relationships. You see, relationships shouldn't be by force. Relationships should be by choice. In other words, don't force relationships. Do not force relationships. You choose relationships. You choose who you want to relate with. You choose how you want to relate. You choose when you want to relate. So relationships should have their boundaries, respective boundaries. So do not force people to relate with you. You choose people to relate with and how you want the relationships to go. You see, this is one very fundamental, vital principle. We said and learned that the only relationship, in all sincerity, the only relationship you had no choice. Remember, relationship is not by force, it's by choice. But a relationship you had no choice over was the relationship of who your father or your mother was going to be. You had no choice over that. Absolutely no choice over who your father and your mother were going to be. And you don't force relationships to happen. You choose and build and forge relationships to make them happen. So that is a very vital truth about relationships. So we continued to say define boundaries principle. So it's got to be called something. Go and check all your relationships. What's it called? Is it a partnership? Are we married or are we engaged? Please, there are the next thing, boundaries that should govern every relationship that we put into a relationship. By boundaries, we mean what can we do, what can we not do in this relationship. For example, if we are engaged, we are not married. So what can we do? What can we not do? That should be the boundaries we set. If you are engaged but not married and you try to do what married people do and try to not do what you should not do while engaged, then it will fail. It won't work. There are boundaries. That's just an example. If we are just neighbors, there are boundaries to our relationship. If we are friends, then there are boundaries to our relationship. Friends share secrets. Friends can visit, go inside each other's bedroom, if that is a boundary that is allowed. That's an example. Boundaries are simply, we must set limits. There must be dividing line between us. And the final one, the DBP, the P is principles. Every relationship is governed by principles. There are fundamental truths. By fundamental truth, there's a foundation that makes every kind of relationship work. So we ask ourselves, what makes this kind of relationship work? If we're business partners, what are the fundamental truths that will keep this business partnership? Excuse me, don't confuse business partnership to marriage partnership, marriage relationship. Those two things must be separate. You know, of course, somebody's asking, if I'm married to somebody, does that mean we can't be business partners? That is why when you're doing business, set the, call it what it is. This is business and we stick to the what business principles are with its boundaries. What can we do? What can we not do? What are the fundamental truths that will make a business relationship work? What should we not do? What will make it fail? These are the issues we look at. So we have been sharing this and looking at that. And last week, I said, in case people are wondering, where did all this theory come from? Where did this whole idea come from? Excuse me, it is from the Bible. It is from the Bible. Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 15 to 17, he was talking to his disciples. Now, when you look at Jesus, Jesus always defined relationships. Jesus always set boundaries of every relationship he had with people when he walked on the earth. And he always gave the principles that makes the relationships work. In John 15, verse 15 to 17, he was talking to disciples. And he called these disciples. Now, by the way, the people he was talking to here, you need to understand, when you go back to, you know, the Gospels, you will see that Jesus had many followers. They were just following him because they were looking at they were seeing the miracles. He fed them everywhere he went. They wanted something. They followed him so they could get what they wanted. At a point, the Bible said, he began to have disciples. Disciples are those who were watching him and learning from him so that they could become like him. It's like you having a political party. You know, it's not everybody that's part of your political party. You can have the whole crowd that follow your party. But those who are members of your party are card-carrying members. That's like what discipleship looks like in a nutshell. But these disciples, one day Jesus, after praying all night, decides he's going to choose out of the many disciples, and he chose 12. Those 12, he called them apostles. An apostle is one that is sent. So they started serving. He will send them and they will do what he tells them to do as an apostle, as apostles. But one day in John chapter 15, verse 15, he says, I no longer call you servants, slaves, bond servants, because servants, they just serve, but they don't know what their master is actually doing. He now said, I'm redefining this relationship. Look at it. Definition is defining. I am calling you friends. You must call the relationship a name. We are no longer neighbors. We've become friends. So let's enter each other's kitchen, enter each other's bedroom. But you see, we must still have boundaries. What sort of friendship? How far do we want to go? Jesus said, I call you friends because I have made known to you everything I had from my Father. Look at that relationship. Friends now are people that know your heart. They know how you think. They can relate with you. You share your thoughts. It's not everybody that is a friend. That's why you don't go to work tomorrow and think people at work are your friends. They are not your friends. They are your colleagues. And some of them want promotion above you. If you go there and tell them everything, then you are crossing boundaries that they will use against you. Not everybody is your friend. Please understand that. Jesus said in verse 16, you did not choose me. Look at it. I chose you. Listen, relationships is not by force, but by choice. You see that principle there? He said, and I gave you this work. I appointed you to go and produce fruit. Fruit that will last, remain, and abide. You know, giving them definition, define the principle, the relationship here. He set the boundaries. You go and bear fruit that will remain. He says, then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. He defined the relationship. He set the boundaries and gave them the principle that will make the relationship work. He said, go and produce fruit so that your fruit will remain. It will abide. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. This is how this relationship works. But then he gave them one fundamental, foundational principle upon which this relationship rests. The principle is that this is my command. Verse 17, love one another. So we cannot overemphasize relationships defined. You must set boundaries. And it must have governing principles. Do not ever forget this. So, today, we are looking at the relationship called family. Listen, not everybody's family. According to the definition, basic definition of family, listen, family could be biological, which is, you know, you were born, a man and a woman came together, they gave birth to you. That's family. The basic definition of family is a group of, you know, two parents and their children. That's the basic definition of what family is. But then another definition of family, which we call extended family, is just all the descendants of a common ancestor. So there's an ancestor, a man, a woman, a man meets a woman, they have children, the children have other, they meet their own spouses and have other children, their spouses, I mean, the children they met also went and on, everybody started having their own individual families. That's an extended family where you have cousins, nephews, you have nieces, you have uncles, you have aunties, you have first cousins, you have second cousins, you have no cousins, you have hyper cousins, you have quiet cousins, you have everybody, you have everything. Now, listen, that also could be family. All the descendants, there's a common ancestor. That is family. But not everybody's family. Yes, somebody is saying, but you said that we're all related to one another. Very true. Because when you trace your genealogy thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, we all came from one ancestor, one man and woman, Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us in the book of Genesis, Genesis is the beginning. So everyone came from there. But then let's look at family. Let's look at the smaller unit now. That tiny little unit. What is the importance of family? Listen, family is the first point of contact that every human being has with this world. Every child that is born into this world, every human being born into this world, their first contact is family. I want that to sink. First contact with the world, family. You know, shout out to the baby that was born exactly 1 week ago yesterday to the family of her brother and sister, King So and Neto. That baby boy born, the first contact that baby has with this world is King So and Neto, who are family to that baby. Now, think about some babies born and they have no, the man has absconded, the woman abandoned the baby and ran away. Yes, those ones too will be put into either a home or an adopted family to look after, a surrogate family, somebody who will just be there. The home will become family. The first contact to the world is family. That's why family is so important. And that's why we're looking in depth into that today, because your very first world outlook, your world view will be shaped by your first contact with this world. And that is family. You got it. Family. Familia, like some people say nowadays. And you know what? Your first point of contact that shapes your world view, that shapes your outlook, will affect and shape your self-esteem. So everyone is born into a family. And that family is the first contact with the world, and that will shape how they see the world. You see the importance of family? Very, very, very important. Because the self-esteem, the person's values, character, can also determine how far they will go in life and the quality of life they will live. That is why family is very important. Very, 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 very important. Now, you now know what happens. Let me just quickly share some things to us. You know, I go back to the screen because I want you to gather those thoughts again. Four kinds of relationship. We are looking today as your relationship with family. Now, there's a scripture in Psalm 68, verse 5 to 6. In Psalm 68, verse 5 to 6, the Bible declares there, in context, it's talking about God, that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy habitation. Note that, father to the fatherless, defender of the widows. That is who God is. In one other place, the Bible says God is the husband to the widow. Because when you look at it, a husband actually defends their wives. So when the wife is without a man, the woman is without a man, maybe the man is late, she becomes a widow. And there are even some people, the man is absent, so they're widow-like. So who fights for them? Who defends them? God. So in verse 6, this is what God now does. He sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Now look at that verse 6. God sets the solitary. Another word for solitary is lonely. The one who is lonely, God will make sure he puts them in families. Remember one of the fundamentals that we learned? God never created you to be alone. It is not good to be alone. It is not God's best. That's why God will make sure and arrange divinely some way for you to be ideally with family. So what does God do? All right, that's the definition of family again. First point of contact. What does God do? Look at the solution in that Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. So we've got a problem. The fatherless, God becomes their father. So if you're watching this, there's no father in your life. Listen, you have a father, a heavenly father. Jesus came and introduced God as our father. Ooh. Is in heaven. He's not on earth, but his presence, his influence, his rule, his lordship comes in when we begin to have a relationship. We have a father-child relationship. You see, the Bible tells us when we receive Jesus, the Bible says as many as receive Jesus, God now gives them a new relationship. He says he gave them the power to become the sons, daughters, children of God. So the solution to the fatherless is that God will become the father. The solution to the widow is God will become the judge, the defender, the husband. Well, look at this. What's the solution to those who are lonely then? They are not fatherless. They are not widows. The solution, God puts the lonely, the solitary family. I want us to see the importance of family there. The solution to being lonely, family. Now, I will give us a Bible definition now that will explain more to us that Psalm 68. Why God chooses family to be the solution to anyone feeling alone. You see, you're watching this broadcast. You are saying, I don't have friends. Family, biological, have forsaken you. There's no one around. You have neighbors, they don't talk to you. You don't talk to them. You're at work, no friend, nobody to talk to. You just live a life, a solitary life. I am bringing to you today a word that God wants to put you in a family. Listen, it is not good for you to be solitary. It is not good for you to be alone. Now, let's move on with this, right? So the solution for the solitary family. Now, what is family? We've defined the general definition of family. You will be shocked to know that the Bible definition of family, which in the original Hebrew is pronounced, I'm not a Hebrew person, but I learned a bit of Hebrew, mishpacha, 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 all right? Don't bother to pronounce that. Do you know what it means? It means your species. Your species. We're going somewhere. Family means your kind. You see, you've had the word kindred before. Your kind. You will remember the solution to the solitary is that God will put them in family. So what family is God talking about? Your species, your kind. Listen, family, your home. Your home. Where are we going with all this? Remember, fatherless, God becomes the father. Widow, God becomes the joy, defender, or the husband. But solitary, lonely, family. And maybe you're listening to this and your biological family have forsaken you. God will give you a new family. Yes, you heard what I said. Now, what is the importance of family again? The importance of family again. If you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18, Genesis chapter 7, verse 15 to 22, sorry, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, Genesis chapter 15, 22, chapter 5, chapter 1, sorry, Genesis 2, 18, Genesis 7, 1. And then you see Genesis in where God was now talking about different families. You will see everything written in the book of Genesis. Now, let me start by sharing with us God's plan for family. God's plan for family was actually for the preservation of the earth. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, God came to the man. It is not good to be alone. So God started family. He brought a woman to the man so that they can begin to procreate. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, the family that when God was going to clear the whole earth, like this pandemic is destroying the earth right now, God took a man called Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives to preserve the earth. He used that family to preserve the earth. Adam's family, Noah's family. So the preservation of mankind, the preservation of the earth, the importance of family, that's what God uses family for. And when you look at this, second thing, when God called a man called Abraham, the first thing he told him, we're going to look at this on Thursday, he told him to leave his, family, leave his country, leave his kindred, his father's house. And God said, I want to take you. I will show you a land. You just come with me because I want to make you a great nation. God told him, Genesis chapter 12, and let me read verse 3, right? God says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth shall be blessed. He said, all, another word, families. So the ultimate aim of Abraham's blessings was that God will bless families. So family is God's way of preserving the earth, preserving you, mankind, because you need family to become everything that you will become on this earth. That's why God does not want you to be alone. It's not good. And for you to enjoy blessings, the Abrahamic blessings are just God's blessings. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 14, we see that also written. God says, was talking here. He says, all your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, the east, north, south, and you and in your seed, all families of the earth shall be blessed. So the blessing is through Abraham for families. You got it. That is the importance of families. Now, remember what we said, the solution to the fatherless, father. The solution to the widow, give her a judge. God will become the judge, the defender, the husband. But everyone that is solitary, everyone that is feeling lonely, family. So God's definition of family is now to look for your species, your kind, and give you a home. You were born into a biological family that rejected you, turned their backs on you, maybe because of some decisions you made, or they decided they don't want to have anything to do with you, and you're watching this broadcast and you're feeling very bad, very lonely. God's solution is what I bring to you today. And we're talking about your relationship with family. Have you noticed something? Let's talk about what it means, your species, your kind, your home. Have you not noticed that people will always gravitate towards where they feel at home? Irrespective of their biological family, if they were born into a hostile environment, it could even be their biological family, they will walk away from that biological family to where they feel at home, where they find their kind, their species, people who share their values, who make them feel special. Have you not noticed? Think about it. Why? Because the home is meant to be God's breeding place where blessings are poured, where someone's life can prosper through, because God's blessings is upon family, right? Even he chose an individual and told the individual, Abraham, no, this blessing is not for you. It's for all the families of the earth. So mishpacha, your kind, your species, your home, you are. Everyone is searching for a mishpacha, their species that will make them feel special, their kind. Everyone gravitates towards where they will feel at home with their kind, where their species makes them feel special. So you see, people can transform and become family to each other, even though by blood, they were never related. Why? Because they feel at home. They find their kind. They see their species. And their species makes them feel special. That is what a family should be. And that's why you see different transformations. People are moving up and down, searching for a home, searching for their kind, searching for their species, where they will feel special. People will run away from anything that does not make them feel at home, where they don't find their kind and their species that does not make them feel special. So, can you understand now the solution for the solitary, for the lonely, according to Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6? Family. God will put you in his family. Why? So that you can be blessed and be a blessing. So God is looking for somewhere to shape you, because family is the first contact. So people will move from a hostile family and go to a special family where they see their kind and find a home. God, listen, you're hearing this because God has a family. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible tells us God is the Father and He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth. Family. God has a family. Jesus is the head of that family. God is the head. Jesus is the head of that family. And God wants to put you in that family. That is why church, you see, the family, God's family, is called church. Right? Church. It's there to shape you. It's there to keep you, preserve you, so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. It's called church. Church is not that building you go to. Church is the family you go and relate with. That is why the power of the church is to shape you, to keep you, so that you can be blessed, preserve you, so that to be a blessing. Now, listen, that is why you have to come into Christ to become part of this family. Because you can't come from a hostile family and bring a carryover into a church family, God's family. That's why God has set boundaries in His church. Remember DBP? Defined. You are now called brothers and sisters in Christ when you become part of the church of Christ. Principles that govern this family. Love one another as I have loved you. Boundaries. Don't hate. Forgive. You must always learn to live together and forgive, because God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You understand, church, now? Don't bring no carryover of the family you're escaping from to create and try and pollute God's family. You understand the temple God is building now. That's why the Bible says, put away foolishness, put away bitterness, put away unforgiveness. That belongs to that old family. The Bible says, if you are listening and you're wondering, how can I become God's family? John chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, as many as received Him, Jesus, shall be given the power, the privilege to be called the sons, the daughters of God. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 to 31, because of our time, you will see how God engrafts those who shouldn't be in His family. Engrafted is a word used by, you know, people in agriculture. Plants, they graft a plant that is not part of one family, join them, graft them, so that that plant grows into and is accommodated and absorbed into another plant. So we are engrafted in the vine. Jesus is the vine. He's the head of God's family. It's a family of love. It's called agape. Unconditional love. That's why people, they are looking for that family. And I believe strongly that through this pandemic, God is redefining His family, because He wants His family the way He wants it to be. It's called the church. And you're watching this, saying, I don't have family. You're welcome to God's family. And I pray with you right now, as you bow your head, just make this simple prayer and declaration. Just say, I have heard this message. And Lord God, my source, I ask you, help me. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me, accept me. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord. Be my Lord today. I surrender. Take me into God's family of love. Listen. I trust you've learned something today. I trust that the Spirit of God Himself will expand this word into your heart. I pray you will know the love of God in this family of God, which passes all understanding. You don't have to be alone. Join this family of God. And I say to you, welcome. Welcome home. This is where you belong. Though father and mother have rejected you, God says He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will accept you. That's why He's placing you in a family. His family. We are a local family in Liverpool, and the power of technology also can help us to relate. And I want to welcome you. The power and importance of your relationship with family. The family is the family of God. Welcome to your kind. Welcome to your species. Welcome to your home. A home built by God. Welcome, because God is giving you brothers you never had, who are not from your mother, the real brothers and sisters from another mother. The mother in this case now is God, the El Shaddai. Father, I pray once again, there are biological families that are disintegrated now. There are even church families that are experiencing turmoil. I pray for healing. I pray the entrance of your word that has brought understanding and light will drive out every darkness, everything pulling down marriages, homes, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. I pray for restoration. I pray for that family struggling. I pray for that home that is about to break. I say in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring your definition. Lord, bring boundaries, bring principles. Lord, let your love permeate in, to, and through every heart into their families. I pray for those who are lonely. I pray, Lord, they will find family. They will find home. I pray they will know that they are special. I pray that they will know you created them not to be alone. And that is why this message has come to them today. Father, thank you. I thank you for the privilege that I can call everyone watching this my brother, my sister, my sons, my daughters, in the faith, in the family of God, because we are one big family, the love family. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow. I tell you something. Just watch out. We're going to talk more about this. If you join us this coming Thursday, from next Sunday, we're going to go deeper. It's going to be the part three, building relationships the right way. Four kinds of relationship. Today we've looked at your relationship with family, which covers the relationship with family and your relationship with self. We will build more on this as we continue in this series. This Thursday, I tell you something, we are going to be looking at this. Please join us on Thursday, 7 p.m. live broadcast, UK time, 7 to 8. We have that window, and you can have you can participate then and ask questions. But the topic we'll be looking at is building my family the right way. Remember, family? People become family. Neighbors can become family. Colleagues can become family, as long as they follow those three guiding fundamentals. It's defined, it has boundaries set, and governed by principles. So you see now, people can transform into family. I tell you something, I came from a biological family into God's family, and I have so many brothers and sisters all over the world that I can pick up the phone and they will be there for me because we're from God's family. I can't overemphasize that. So this Thursday, you don't want to miss this study, Building My Family the Right Way. And I want to thank you for those giving. Everything you give is used for the family of God. Different things we do, different needs people have. We're there for one another, different projects. And I tell you something, when you give, you're giving into the family so that the family can be blessed. You are a blessing. Remember, you are blessed through family. Abraham was blessed so that he can be a blessing to families of all the earth. If you start seeing yourself like that, that's the Abrahamic blessing. And it comes when also God blesses you to be a blessing. So you give and you keep giving. Those are the details. They're online. They're in the comment section. If you're watching Facebook Live, if you want to go to the website, we're RCCG Love Assembly Liverpool. If you go to www.loveassembly.org/giving, you can also give through that platform. And you want to contact us. You've heard this message today, struck a chord in you. I want to be family to you. I tell you something, my heart is full of nothing but love. I want to be a blessing. And that is why also God spoke to us. I can tell you this, why we are called Love Assembly. I tell you, if you are struggling with that, it's because you are trying to bring a family value of where you ran from and trying to pollute God's family. In Love Assembly, we love. We are a family of love. Contact us through the number on the screen, 078-776-32207, or www.loveassembly.co.uk, but the email address is info@loveassembly.co.uk. I am waiting to hear from you. I would love to be there for you also. Technology has brought us together. Let's make and take advantage of this technology that we have now. And you know what? I am so glad you watched this broadcast. I am so glad I can call most of you also watching family. And those who just made the decision today, listen, even where you're physically located, if you're watching from all over the world, we have family where you are. I've traveled to some different continents now. And guess what? Everywhere I go, I realize I have family. Last December, I went to Canada. I found out I had family. They looked after me. Before then, I went to America, to Florida. Guess what? I found family there. They looked after me. 2 years ago, I traveled to Nigeria and Africa. Apart from my own biological family, I found family every time I go. The other time I went to Kenya, guess what? I found family there and also went there to be a blessing to families. You cannot do without family because God blessed you and God's blessing is poured through families. Thank you for joining this broadcast again. It's a pleasure to always be there for you. At this point, I will be signing out. If you're part of Love Assembly Liverpool, you're based in Liverpool, we have a child naming and dedication. So just watch out on the WhatsApp groups. We'll give you the details 3 p.m. today. And thank you for everyone that is family. You know what? I appreciate you. And if you have a biological family, and today there was chaos before this service, this word of healing has come into your family to heal your family. You know what? Just look at your spouse now. Look at your children now and tell them, we are family and I love you unconditionally. And apologize. Excuse me. You don't get indigestion by swallowing your pride. It's pride that makes people not to say sorry. I don't know why I said that, but I'm signing off. Enjoy your family, and I look forward to hearing from you. Next live broadcast, 7 p.m. Thursday, we'll be talking about building my family the right way. It's bye for now. Familia.